Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod.
If you're a podcast host, listen up, this one's for you. My name is Allie Jackson. I'm the host of Finding Mr. Height, a dating and relationship podcast that I've been doing for 4 years now, sharing my positive and practical approach to dating that's built on my own life experience. And I wanted to share another experience that I've had, my secret behind monetizing my show. It's called Red Circle. And I was just telling my colleague about how much I love their platform. With Red Circle, not only am I getting a seamless hosting experience, but I also love the support I receive in ad sales. It's not just typical ad sales either. It's targeted opportunities based on my show and my life. And the platform is super simple. You just set your preferences and Red Circle matches you with sponsors that align with your show. You can vet every opportunity and their platform gives you great analytics. More recently too, my Red Circle team has brought me opportunities outside of my podcast on social media to really augment the podcast partnerships, bring them full circle. I just can't recommend them enough. If you want to give it a try, go to redcircle.com to get your free trial. That's redcircle.com for a free trial.
Disappearance Down Under. I'm Jason Horton.
I'm Rebecca Lieb.
And this is Ghost Town.
We've done our fair share of Australian episodes over the years, and for good reason. Australia seems to attract mystery, the unexplained, the unknown. And today, my friends, is no different. With a case made known to me by an Australian friend that truly boggles my mind. But curator Richard Culpers of Australian Screen says it best in just how much this case has impacted Australian culture. Quote, "The disappearance of Harold Holt is the Bermuda Triangle, Loch Ness Monster, and JFK assassination of Australia. No event has held more dramatic and consistent sway over the Australian imagination than the baffling disappearance of its prime minister at his favorite beach on December 17th, 1967. So without further ado, one of Australia's greatest mysteries, the disappearance of Harold Holt. Harold Edward Holt was born to two schoolteachers in a suburb of Sydney on August 5, 1908. He attended Wesley College in Melbourne, where he displayed an early aptitude for sports and leadership, winning awards for both. Holt went on to study law at the University of Melbourne, where he played football, cricket, and tennis for Queen's College. In 1931, he became a lawyer, working as secretary to the Cinematography Exhibitors Association. It was at that point that he became active in the Young Nationalists Party and thought maybe he could make some impact on politics. The rest would happen very quickly. In 1935, at the young age of 27, Holt was elected to federal parliament. Holt won the next four general elections, a charismatic leader now known cheekily as, quote, the most eligible bachelor in parliament. In 1940, he became Minister for Labor and National Service and Minister in Charge of Scientific and Industrial Research, serving in two different administrations. In 1946, he married his longtime on-again, off-again love, businesswoman Zara Fell, adopting her three sons from a previous marriage. In 1949, Holt again became Minister for Labor and National Service. He held this position for 9 years, introducing conscription into the army for all males aged 18 in 1951. He was also Minister of Immigration from 1949 to 1956, challenging the controversial, quote, White Australia policy, a prohibiting policy to keep, quote, undesirable immigrants, think people without a European background, out of Australia by giving them a dictation test that they could not possibly pass. Holt abolished this test and in 1956 became the leader of the House of Representatives and deputy Liberal leader. He also took over as treasurer in 1958, dealing with a drought that produced a debilitating national recession in 1960. He did a good enough job with weathering the recession because in January 1966, he was elected the 17th Prime Minister of Australia. Holt, like some of the prime ministers before him, fancied himself a rugged, masculine man of the people and refused a security detail upon taking office, considering it an elitist measure and alienating to the general public. But after a window in his office was shattered by a sniper and an assassination attempt was made on Arthur Calwell, the leader of the opposition, Holt caved and hired a bodyguard. Speaking of being a rugged, tough guy, throughout his life, Holt had a continued love for sports and the outdoors. Holt loved spearfishing, snorkeling, and swimming at one of his three beach houses. Loving fishing, Holt wore a wetsuit so he could fish year-round, and preferred either skin diving or snorkeling to feel free to move in the water. Some of his friends would recall that once Holt had speared a fish, he would unzip his suit and place the fish inside, still bleeding or still alive, allowing him to continue fishing unadulterated. Also, according to friends, Holt had, quote, incredible powers of endurance underwater, and sometimes kept himself entertained during parliamentary debates by seeing how long he could hold his breath. Several of Holt's friends confronted him about the dangers of spearfishing, swimming in deep waters, and all of that. After all, he was the Prime Minister of Australia. Holt's press secretary, Tony Eggleton, voiced many concerns around this, to which Holt would respond, quote, look, Tony, what are the odds of a prime minister being drowned or taken by a shark? Of course, you know where this is going. On May 20th, 1967, Holt did have a close call diving in deep, choppy water and was pulled ashore by a diving buddy. While still conscious, Holt turned purple and vomited a large amount of seawater. Holt attributed the incident to a leaking snorkel, but continued to deep-sea dive, snorkel, swim, and fish. Thankfully, Holt was healthy and in great shape, but one thing did weigh on him while he dove and swam and navigated dangerous political and physical water: his family history of premature death. Holt's father died at the age of 59 and his older brother at 57. Holt himself suffered a severe concussion in a road accident in November 1955, in which the driver of the vehicle himself was killed. So Holt did understand mortality and that he wasn't invincible, at least not completely. A few days before his disappearance, Holt had even been briefly examined by his personal physician for an old persistent shoulder injury. The physician prescribed him morphine for the pain and advised him to take it easy, specifically telling him to cut back on swimming and sports. But did he? Of course not. On Thursday, December 14th, Holt had his final cabinet meeting, ramping up for a weekend at one of his seaside homes. The next morning, he returned to his Parliament House office at 8:30 a.m. to finalize a press release. At 11 a.m., he left Parliament House on a military jet to Melbourne, while his wife Zara stayed in Canberra to finalize preparations for their annual Christmas party. When he arrived in Melbourne, Holt and his personal secretary, Patricia de Lacy, were driven to his constituency office, did some work there, and then hit the road for one of his vacation homes in Portsea, Queensland. While driving to Portsea in his red Pontiac Parisienne, Holt stopped in the nearby city of Sorrento, where he saw Marjorie Gillespie and her husband Winston. Unbeknownst to Winston, Holt had been having an affair with Marjorie, though that night he left the couple and had dinner with his housekeeper, who had brought him clothes and supplies for the weekend. On Saturday, December 16th, at the Portsea house, Holt got up early, ate breakfast, did some gardening, and made some phone calls. One of these calls was to his stepson, Nicholas, inviting him down to Portsea. Holt played tennis in the afternoon and then spent some time with Nicholas and his family, who had just arrived. That night, also a busy night, Holt went to a neighbor's cocktail party for about an hour and then returned home to host his own dinner party with about a dozen guests. The guy, again, was busy, and his busyness would continue into the next day, Sunday, December 17th. That morning, he had breakfast, called his wife, and then he drove to the local general store to buy insect repellent, peanuts, and the weekend's newspapers. Ironically, one of the headlines in The Australian that very day was, quote, PM advised to swim less, which was the recent advice from his personal doctor. But whether Holt bought or read that newspaper, well, we'll never really know. At 11:15 a.m., he and four friends left for Point Nepean, the most westerly point of the Mornington Peninsula in Victoria, Australia, where they hoped to watch solo circumnavigator Alec Rose pass through the Rip, or the tip of the peninsula, into Port Phillip Bay. Holt was accompanied by his lover, Marjorie Gillespie, her daughter Viner, and two family friends of the Gillespies, Martin Simpson and Alan Stewart. It was an extremely hot day, so the group didn't stay long, opting to go to Cheviot Beach for a swim before lunch. It's important to note that Holt knew the area very well. In 1960, he even salvaged a porthole from the SS Cheviot, a shipwreck that had given the beach its original name. At 12:15 p.m., the water was choppy, but again, Holt was a very skilled swimmer and jumped right in. Alan Stewart joined him, but Holt's other friends decided to hang back, deeming the water a bit treacherous. Stewart stayed close to shore, feeling an undertow and proceeding cautiously. Quote, "I was out of my depth and I could feel this terrific undertow," he would later recount. "It was really quite powerful and really quite frightening." But Holt swam into deeper water and eventually disappeared into the sea. The others called for him to come back repeatedly, but he didn't respond, raise his arms, or cry for help. He just slipped under the waves in a manner Marjorie Gillespie would later describe as, quote, "like a leaf being taken out, so quick and so final." In shock, Harold Holt's friends watched him disappear, never to be seen again. On that note, let's take a break.
Hi, hello, how are you?
Hello, hello out there.
This is the check-in.
This is what you got, baby.
You knew it was coming.
You knew it. You knew it.
You're like really all coy. You're like, what? A check-in now?
Oh,
I wasn't expecting
me?
It. Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Two can play this game.
Well, we want to say hello to anyone who's listening, supporting us, spreading the good word of Ghost Town. Thank you so much. We appreciate it. And those mayors. I had some conspiracies about them once upon a time.
Oh, really?
I wouldn't say it was, I don't know, I wouldn't say it was very controversial, but they were conspiracies and everyone needs something.
Yeah. Ooh, lends some intrigue. To our already intriguing mayors.
Yes, this first mayor has a conspiracy about them. Is when somebody accuses them of taking a nap, they're like, I wasn't taking a nap. I wasn't taking a nap. I'm projecting here in this one. I wasn't sleeping.
Resting your eyes, the old...
I was just resting my eyes.
Uh-huh.
I wasn't napping. That's weakness.
You sound kind of like Jax Taylor.
Yeah. I was like, I wasn't napping.
Ooh.
Well, Ashley Mattson was not napping.
Mm-mm.
So the conspiracy ends here.
So don't ask again.
Kind of along the same lines. I wasn't snoring. You were snoring. You snore. I wasn't the one. I don't snore. You're the one who's snoring.
Uh-huh. Like
you're
uh-huh.
You're just snoring a little bit for a short amount of time. I wasn't snoring.
Mm-mm.
That's weakness.
Mm-mm. I would never do anything so unbecoming.
Yes.
I'm perfect.
That's Chris Hernandez.
Hello.
There's a conspiracy about this mayor when they showed up to an event that clearly said no gifts. Yet everyone there brought a gift, like it was understood to bring a gift. But this mayor was like, it said don't bring a gift.
Mm-mm-mm-mm.
But then they're saying, I did bring a gift. But everyone's like, oh, we didn't see you show up with any gift. He's like, oh, trust me, I brought a gift. Part of some sting operation where it's understood. It's like, what do? You have to like, no gifts. And it's like, well, I don't want to be the only. That's Marissa Rothermel.
Hello.
This mayor has had a conspiracy where they were accused of not contributing to a group's logins for streaming services. Like, oh, I give you my Hulu. You got my Netflix. You know, you got my Paramount Plus.
Mm-hmm.
You got my Peacock.
Mm-mm.
And then this man's like, hey, where's your chipping in? Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, no, I did. I got one of mine in there. They're like, which one? He's like, I gave you my Zumba login. Like, Zumba? What? Yeah, I gave you my Zumba login.
That's rude. That's so rude. There's nothing on Zumba. She wants you watching like, Wings on Zumba?
No, I didn't say Zumba. I said Zumba.
You know, Futurama on Zumba?
Yeah, it's like, what's going on? Well, that would be our mayor. Sorry, Kelly Meehan.
Hello.
This next mayor has the conspiracies flying around whether they filled up the Brita the last time they used it. Or did they just taketh the water and didn't filleth it back up? But they're like, I got mine. I got my cup of H2O. The next person, they can eat it.
Fuck them.
I don't care. Yeah.
Fuck them.
Let them.
You can die of dehydration, you fuck.
Yo, as long as I got mine. I got mines. I got my cup of toilet springs water. If anyone thinks, hey, has this podcast gotten to you guys at all?
No.
Is your mental state deteriorating because of it? Nope. Stronger than ever. Why do you ask? Why do you ask?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that would be our mayor, Kat Jozelle.
Hello.
And then our governor. I mean, it's all a conspiracy.
Yeah. She's like a patchwork quilt of conspiracies. And she loves it. Who doesn't?
Yes.
Most fascinating person. What's real? What's not? You'll never know. And also, You don't deserve to know.
No. I think if you knew the information, your being will be compromised. Your absolute self will be compromised.
You will have your own existential mind freak break from reality. You can't handle it. You can't handle it.
You can't handle a mind freak.
Uh-uh.
Well, I will say, a little spoiler, I'm going to read an email that I think this email came in response to knowing that we were going to be talking about our governor. They knew we were going to be talking about the governor. The email was sent in advance in order to discredit us, and it's working, and you'll have to wait for a second to read that email.
It's not from the bellwether.
No. They've gone silent on us for a little bit.
Oh, okay.
But they'll be back. They'll come back.
Oh yeah.
We're apparently the only resource on it.
We're the only press they got.
Yeah. Well, that would be our governor,
Avian Noble.
If you want no ads, no chit-chat, bonus episode, 7 days free, head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod. Now, this email that we got, not going to say the person's name, want to protect their identity. Let me know if you, Rebecca, or anyone listening out there could make heads or tails of this email.
I can't wait.
Maybe you can. I can't. It's from a Yahoo email, so you know it's serious. Wow. Sorry, Yahoo users out there.
Maybe, over 45.
It could be a burner account. Sometimes you just want to use a burner account, and I get that. So that's why. If it's your primary, I don't know. Okay. It goes as follows. You lost me in any respect when you let these two idiots take on the show in She Summons House. I can't even express how disappointed I am. And how I wish to pull the international plug so no one else has to hear these two talk junk.
Wow.
So I don't know.
The Inn She Summons. I was like, is that an, what, I.
Did we, what, is there, what rhymes, is there anything that sounds like Summons House that we went into?
Ooh, I don't know. I mean, this must have been an old episode, first of all, because something close to it isn't ringing a bell.
No, and also they could have confused us with somebody else, but they're also saying that they're the person they're talking to, let us to do something. So they're talking, I guess, to the management of this podcast. They're talking to HR, I guess. I don't know. The CEO of Ghost Town they're talking to. So I don't understand it. And I was maybe somebody else listening out there. Can you piece together what they're saying?
The international plug of canceling podcasts?
Is it possible they're talking about IHOP?
How do you spell Inchi?
I-N space S-H-E space summons space house. Now, are they talking about the International House of Pancakes episode?
God, I get maybe.
But summons has to, like...
And she summoned. This is a real kind of a conspiracy.
I know. That's why. Yeah.
I want to know why someone hates us this much, and I'm going to get to the bottom of it.
Now, did we let two people in this? What? It has to be something that's connected to summons.
Summons.
Must rhyme with summons.
Summons house. Oh God. I mean, I'm very curious.
Whose house were we in?
Is it the Simpsons house? We literally just talked about the Simpsons house last week.
So this email came 3 days ago.
The Inchi Simmons house. Could that be the Simpsons house?
Simpsons house. It could be, but nobody let us in there.
No, and also, the information.
It's a 30-year-old. It's a 30-year-old.
Legit reporting. Is this like a Simpsons diehard superfan that doesn't like
that? That makes some sense. But the word summons is so ghostly. That's why I thought maybe it was.
Yeah, I mean, it would make sense. I feel like summons does lend itself to something more supernatural. But now, I mean. Were they just like, listen, Yahoo email, probably like voice to text, I would imagine.
Maybe, yeah.
I'm putting the pieces together. They're a little bit older, perhaps.
Well, they want to pull the international plug.
Yeah, the international plug. Not just national. They're going international.
Well, if the person that sent us this email is listening, follow up.
Yeah, we want to know.
Clarify. Clarify. We're very, very curious. I found this very interesting.
If you've kept listening after sending that email, I would just imagine it's some weird typographical tech error.
Sure.
I'm
trying to figure out what it is that they're referring to.
Yeah.
So if anyone else out there has any, if you have a working knowledge of our 700 episodes that we've done.
Yeah. And also, if it is The Simpsons, I probably used every source. There's not a lot about this out there, I will say.
Yeah.
So I really dug deep to get good information. So again, if it's about that, I don't know what else you might have wanted from us. We couldn't visit the house. We don't live close to there. We don't have those resources. But if we, I'd love to. I'd love to do
this
something.
Also, we're talking about a 30-year-old, almost 30-year-old story. All right. Well, you want to get back into the episode?
Let's do it. The sudden disappearance of sitting Prime Minister Harold Holt into the deep, treacherous ocean immediately hit media, igniting one of the largest search operations in Australian history. As, of course, it would. The 57-year-old would be missing for just 2 hours, but at 1:30 p.m., the entire Australian Defence Force was put on high alert. Dozens of police, search and rescue squads all convened on Cheviot Beach, aware of the seriousness of the situation. The search, though thorough, was hampered by the, quote, heavy rolling seas, 6 to 8 feet high waves, and in water of about 60 feet. Three amateur divers had to abort their search, finding the water too dangerous. One of the small rescue boats looking for Holt even overturned in the process. By the end of the day, more than 190 people participated in the search, and the next day it continued, with hundreds more joining the efforts. Working in shifts, 50 divers focused on the rock pools and ledges near where Holt had last been seen. The weather was still all over the place, going from calm and safe to completely untenable. Quote, "There is now a firm realization that there is no hope of finding Mr. Holt alive," ABC reporter Peter Baster told viewers during the early hours of December 18th. With few leads, the search operation shifted west to an area known as the Rip, the entrance to Port Phillip Bay. "I think all of us close to the PM are still hanging on to a shred of hope," said Holt's press secretary Tony Eggleton. "But as time goes on, it really is diminishing." While the search for Holt would continue, the operation was significantly scaled back by December 22nd. That same day, a memorial service for Holt was held at St. Paul's Cathedral in Melbourne. The service drew over 2,000 attendees, including Charles, Prince of Wales, and U.S. President Lyndon Johnson, with many thousands more lining the nearby streets and listening in through a loudspeaker. Said President Johnson in a statement made about Holt's death, quote, "Americans are proud of the friendship they enjoyed with Prime Minister Harold Holt. We mourn him with all the grief that Australians feel. It is a cruel tragedy that he has been taken from us by this accident, for so many of his days were devoted to guarding a nation and a world against hazard. His dream was to bring order and design to man's brightest hopes. He fought with rare courage, tenacity, and vision to assure that men would live safe from peril in the promise of freedom." Mind you, this is happening during the Cold War. It goes on to say, "My personal loss is heavy. Harold Holt was generous with the gift of a warm and wise heart. I found comfort in his friendship and strength in his partnership. He and the people for whom he spoke were always dependable and unshakable. Those blessings of his example cannot be removed. They are as eternal as the sea that has taken this good and gallant champion away." On January 5th, 1968, the search was completely called off. To this day, the body of Harold Holt has never been recovered. For many, the tragic disappearance of Holt was proof of what authorities feared, that even the best, most confident swimmer could be found out of his depth, literally. But others were skeptical that this expert swimmer and fisherman could just vanish like that, and were unwilling to accept this straightforward, perhaps unbelievable outcome. Some believe Holt's death was a suicide. Supporters of this theory claim that Holt was depressed and mentally unstable at the time of his death and killed himself because he thought his political career was in jeopardy. Senior public servant Sir Lennox Hewitt recalled in a 1994 interview that Holt had indeed seemed depressed in the period before his death. But this theory is also a little flimsy, as the 1968 police report specifically ruled out suicide, as Holt had followed a, quote, "ordinary domestic pattern in the days before his disappearance," and suicides in front of witnesses were considered fairly atypical. Also, in the 2007 documentary, Who Killed Harold Holt?, Holt's stepson Sam discredits this theory entirely by saying, quote, "There's no mystery. In essence, there's no credibility at all, and no one in our family believes it." Referring, of course, to his suicide. Zara, his wife, had earlier said that her husband was, quote, "too selfish to commit suicide." Conspiracy theories abound beyond suicide as well. Most of the theories involve claims of a cover-up at the highest level of government. A 1968 story in the Sunday Observer claimed that Holt had been assassinated by the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency because he intended to pull Australian troops out of Vietnam. Others thought that Holt had been killed by the North Vietnamese after being incapacitated by a nerve agent, or that he had faked his own death to be with a lover, one of which, of course, was Marjorie. In 1983, British journalist Anthony Gray published a book called The Prime Minister Was a Spy, in which he theorized that Holt was a lifelong spy for the People's Republic of China. According to Gray, Holt faked his own death to defect to China and was, quote, "collected by a waiting submarine." Holt's wife and family have rejected this theory as well. Zara has said that her husband was not in bed with the Chinese. In fact, quote, "he didn't even like Chinese food." What makes this case so intrinsically Australian is not the theories or the circumstances, but in some of the dark and ironic humor that comes from Holt's memorializing. On the first anniversary of Holt's death, a commemorative plaque was bolted to a reef in Cheviot Beach, about 49 feet underwater. Monuments to Holt were placed on the cliff above the beach and at the Melbourne General Cemetery, the latter featuring the inscription, quote, "He loved the sea." Perhaps more bizarre, in September 1968, a naval communication station in Western Australia was renamed in Holt's honor. And in March 1969, the Harold Holt Memorial Swimming Center was opened in suburban Melbourne. The Australian Army also dedicated a different swimming pool to Holt's memory, the Harold Holt Memorial Pool at the Australian base in Vietnam. Another very Australian reaction to this case is Holt's name becoming local slang, synonymous with any sudden or unexplained disappearance. The phrase, quote, "to do a Harold Holt," which rhymes with Aussie slang for to bolt, of course, to make a quick exit, has apparently become fairly prevalent. An example of the most famous use of this slang occurred in 1988, when rugby league commentator Jack Gibson said, quote, "Waiting for Cronulla, a team in suburban Sydney, to win a grand final is like leaving a porch light on for Harold Holt." Over the next 30 years, locals very darkly taunted the Cronulla team by waving posters of Holt's face and dressing up in wetsuits to taunt them. But for a little levity to this story, perhaps being the decades-long butt of a vanished prime minister's legacy inspired the team, who would eventually win their first championship in 2016.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s.
Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects.
With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last. Get started today for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com.